got one promised Bible, and I got, let's see, I got a book of Psalms. I mean, come on, man. When you spend time with the Lord, friend, you're going hard after the Lord. Say, my soul follows hard after you. Early in the morning will I rise up and seek thee. Man, this thing here, man, will be on you. Like my mom used to say, like white on rice. This thing will be on you. There is an insatiable quest after the Lord Jesus Christ to get to know him and to shine like him in the midst of a dark world. See, deconstruction of pride and everything that makes you the antithesis of God is done through time spent with the Master. If you just stay in front of him, he will do the work on you. He'll take out the old and put in the new. Religion will have you performing with no time spent with the Lord. You really don't even know him. So you wouldn't know anybody who came in the character of Christ because you don't know Christ. That's what will make you subservient to the Antichrist. I can't even identify Christ because of what? I've spent no time with Christ. I don't know him. The Bible says you should be known even as you are known. He should be known as you are known. You need to spend time with him. When we see him, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We'll be just like him. Time spent now will destroy the damage you did to yourself in sin. God holds everybody responsible because we did it to ourselves. Don't tell him what you can't do because you sinned and it wasn't comfortable, it wasn't convenient to sin. You did a lot of stuff to sin. It's hard to sin. You got to get up late, sneak out the house, hang around someone looking crazy, dragging the house drunk, half crazy, then wreck your car. It's all this stuff going on in sin. Folks that had gonorrhea, syphilis, you don't tell nobody about all that. Sin carries a burden and a heavy weight. So God is saying, if you could do all that to sin, well, you ought to be able to pursue me. You hunger and thirst after righteousness, verily you'll be filled. He says you'll find me when you seek me. When you search for me and seek me with all of your heart. The word is not us, even in our mouths. And this is the word we're preaching. You got to spend time in this word to be conformed to Christ. Who have heard of a Christian that hates the word of God? Tell it to most church folk, they despise the word of God. Hate it with a passion. They want to do what they want to do and tell God that's good enough. The devil is seeking now to devour folks like that. What's the only option you got if you don't go through this process? Here's what people do by nature. If they don't go and submit themselves to the process of exchanging time, the only other option they got is this. Proudly stuck in the religious constructs of the world, they become proud and stoic. And I guarantee you 1,000% of the time, they will go and find a religion that is not godly. They'll go right to Jehovah's Witness. They'll go right to the Mormons. They'll go right to the Church of Christ and all that law-abiding doctrine. And watch how they stand there trying to act like they're saved just like you. They'll talk to you from a point of view as we're all the same, we're saved. And be talking about the Lord, don't know the Lord. We know the Lord will be sitting next to them on a city bus. What's doing that? Pride that was never deconstructed. You know why the Holy Ghost doesn't baptize people? Because they're proud and he knows it. They're too proud to receive the Holy Ghost. You know why people don't open up to receive the Holy Ghost? Because they don't know what they'll look like if they get the Holy Ghost. Talking in tongues might embarrass me. I don't want people to know I talk in tongues. That's embarrassing. Guess what? He's not going to come on you. Religion has built up a whole denominational backdrop to deny talking in tongues because they're too proud to receive the Holy Ghost. It's pride doing that. Tongues is not for today. That's because you're proud. All these folks talking in tongues, and tongues are not for today. And they call it, they go on the internet and call it gibberish. Stupid gibberish. Now you better hope that ain't the Holy Ghost. You take on a lot when you come against what Jesus said, you will speak in other tongues. Because your carnal, ignorant, proud mind can't understand it, you start trying to verbalize against it. Man, you're making a bad mistake. That's a bad mistake. Pride can lead you to destruction because you're touching the clean thing with your unclean hands. If you don't understand it, shut your mouth, just leave it alone. Don't even bring it up. That's the trouble John MacArthur's in right now. He's coming against the Holy Ghost, telling folks that, hey, all the gifts have ceased. All this talking in tongues, gibberish, is just foolishness. You're making a bad mistake, John MacArthur. Because if you think you can take on this present evil world and this culture without the power of the Holy Ghost, you are crazy. While you're talking against it, people are seeking after it. Seeking after the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit to get power to confront the devil, to command him to set God's people free. Time spent to deconstruct things. The stoic, hardened heart has to be torn down brick by brick, block by block. But it's done as you stay before God, and the very essence of who Jesus is transferred to you. The transfer of spirits is not just negative. Jesus is a spirit. God is a spirit. He can transfer his spirit to you if you'll expose yourself to him by day and by night. You should have a regimentation almost about your life as far as Jesus is concerned, getting around him, talking to him. You should have a place to steal away to, that he used to say, for you and him to talk to each other. I mean, this thing here is a mess, man, what people are doing. With no real time spent with the Lord. The Bible says they study for debate. They reading books and studying junk and reading the Bible just to debate. Like it's a tool to validate their proud behinds and their proud minds so they'll have more weapons in their arsenal to debate people. That's the wrong reason for going to Jesus. Your motives are corrupted. You come to Jesus for Jesus, to get to know him, to get into a deeper, intimate relationship with him, to be like him. Now, however that looks, that's how I'll be. I'm not even concerned what I'll look like. I just want to be changed, to be free from the chains of this world that bound me. And you were bound based on where you spent your time. Everybody can take that journey back in their minds. Where did you spend your time? Who were you around? I just told you what God does to people who have fellowships with proud people. Look at where you were at. What were you doing? The things you tried, the things you thought, the things you said, the folks you were cursing out. I don't know, the folks you done cursed at. What you doing cursing like that? That came from time spent around some atmosphere, some environment. Your words and how you conducted yourself, how you dress, how you walk, how you talk. Everything about you was forged in time in sin. That has to be deconstructed by getting before the master and letting him do the work that only he can do. That's to extract the detrimental parts of time out of you and replace that with the eternity of God. That can change a human. Adam and Eve had that in them when they were created. They were in the image of God, who is eternal. They had no soulish desire for this planet. Adam and Eve became soulish creatures when they fell. Remember now, here's the journey that we go on. It parallels the Israelites coming up out of Egypt, and I'll wrap it up with this. They came out of Egypt bound as slaves under the Egyptians. Total servitude. Now, as a slave, you're dependent upon what? The Egyptians, the master, and what they see fit to give you. That's what people on welfare and food stamps are to this very day. They're totally dependent on the master and what he parcels out to them. So you have no say-so over your life. What the master sees fit to give you, that's what you have. And the master can decrease or increase what he gives you at his discretion. That's why they run around every time the government does something, all hyped up. Pre-existing conditions. Do you have a pre-existing condition? No. Well, why do you care? Because I got other stuff they're giving me. If they start taking stuff, they're going to get to me in a minute. So as a slave, you're totally dependent upon the master. They leave Egypt on the outside. Physically, they walk out of Egypt, but guess what? The programming of 400 years of slavery was embedded in their souls, which means what about them? What was detrimental to them about being in Egypt as slaves all those times, all those years? They couldn't trust in an invisible God because a visible man supplied all their needs all the time. I can't see God. I can't believe God. I can't trust God because the Egyptians have taken care of me for 400 years. So they come out with Egypt in their hearts. Every conflict, their first thing was always what? Need to go back to Egypt. Go back to the world. Go back to my old ways. Go back to where I came from. That's what the devil's trying to force us to do. Instead of trusting God and going forward, go back to Egypt. So with the Egyptian enslaved mind, you're trapped in Egypt as a servant to the Egyptians. You come into the wilderness with that same mind in you, but now guess what? Guess what's got to happen to you? Since the Egyptians are not taking care of you, and you can't see God taking care of you, what would you logically do now? Huh?
Go with self. Go with self.
I got to take care of me, myself. So you become what? Self-conscious. In Egypt, you were world conscious because the Egyptians and the world supplied for you. In the wilderness, you become self-conscious because I got to make it the best way I can and take care of me. You know how many people did that in their homes? No daddy, nobody around, nobody. I got to look out for me. You went out there and sinned and began to fornicate and got your heart ripped out your chest enough, guess what you start thinking? I'm getting ready to look out for me because I just hurt I'm feeling. I'm not feeling this hurt no more. It's going to be kill or be killed around here. Self is going to be enthroned in my life. So with the flesh, you serve the world. With the soul, you're conscious of serving self. So guess what? An Egyptian's soul that's really unable to trust God, all into yourself, you circle in the wilderness, guess what happens to you as you circle? What do they keep doing to God? Give us some food. We need some water. Moses brought us out here. They were thinking about themselves. So get what God did. He just, okay. Just keep it. The circle was so wide, they didn't know they were circling. Circling. In the wilderness, just walking around the circle all that time. And they get up, they pitch the tent, pull the tents up, walk around. Put the tents down again. Camp out for a while, pick them up, and go back around the circle. What's he doing?
Cutting them off.
He's killing what? That slave mind that came up out of Egypt. Self-consciousness got to die in the wilderness. And once you kill off all of that, you can get to a people who can go into the promised land. And those people can't go across the Jordan River conscious of self. What did he do? He kept Joshua and Caleb alive to teach the people born in the wilderness how to trust God. Why did Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says they had another spirit in them. Why was that? Huh? They spent time with the Lord. While the rest of them were complaining and murmuring, those boys were somewhere in prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord. Every time you see somebody God uses, that person is the one that spent time with God. That's why he used them. You're not going to be using this. You personally spend time with him. This public junk don't mean nothing to God. He's going to identify the person that spent time with him because that person humbled themselves, and he will exalt that person in due season. He will take care of you in due season when you spend time with him. But you're going to be in austerity. You're going to be unknown in the shadows, having spent time with God, and nobody will know it. You'll know mysteries that other people won't know. Most preachers don't know anything about the flesh, soul, and spirit and how it operates. They don't know that all the vignettes in the Bible from Egypt, the wilderness, and the promised land are really the flesh, the soul, and the spirit. They don't know that. So they don't preach it because they don't know. Because they don't spend time with God to understand how the human really works. And why all these character traits in the Bible are showing us this and how to move from one phase to the next. It's about time spent to undo the damage of the world that we were in. We spent time in the world in sin. That's your Egyptian existence as a slave to sin. The Bible calls it being a slave to sin. That's got to be undone. If not, you will fall prey to a prosperity doctrine that's all about getting something for self. See how the doctrine is designed for the slaves from Egypt? You're self-conscious and you think God is now the two main characters Satan set up to represent him, Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, both of which bring self stuff. You can't see this? The world is built around bringing stuff to self. God says, I tell you what you do, present your body as a sacrifice. For my will to be done, my will to be proved, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't look for anything from me. You bring you to me and give yourself to me. And then whatever I give you, like it. Your prayers will change. God give me, God I need, God send me, God I would like, God you should, God I need, God I want, God What is your will? What do you want? I'm only conscious of what God wants at my expense. See, when your mind makes that change, you're now living in the promised land because I'm not conscious of myself anymore. You become a vessel that God pours through, not always looking for God to give something to me. And that's why religious folk don't come near the real gospel. Religious people don't come to the real gospel because they come to church to be made into something to impress other people. They go to seminary so they can be lords over God's inheritance. Can't you see the religious indoctrination in the present day church schematic is designed to make you a lord over God's inheritance? Bishop, apostle, over the people, and a person that's looking down from a pedestal at the rest of the people. A real church environment sees everybody as what? Co-laborers in the Lord. Brothers that walk together in unity. Everybody has their assigned position. You just do what you're assigned to do, and you're not conscious of self and promotion and advancement. I'm content with what the Lord assigned me. I'm all right. I'm telling y'all, religious church environments are a mess. They're full of Egyptians coming into the church with the old Egyptian slave mind. And you know what happens on the plantation. What does everybody do? The churches are set up just like this. The number one thing a slave does on the plantation is what? Court the favor of the master. Trying to become a house nigga. But now you're an armor bearer as a house nigga. brown-nosing the pastor, trying to move up so you can start doing the announcements on Sunday. And your proud butt strutting around in a pulpit like you in with the in crowd. Now you want the in crowd. And it's me and the pastor and them and the rest of y'all. You can pick up that attitude and people all the time. I made an in. I'm on the other side with the in crowd.
That's right.
And you're just ignorant, proud, dumbed down, and used. Because any dumb, stupid thing he wants to tell people, he sends you to do it. And you go tell, you're so stupid, you go tell them. The pastor said he want a Bentley for his appreciation. And you head up the committee trying to get the Bentley money together. Because he knows you just that stupid, you'll do it. You out there with a, you know, with a basket every Sunday in front of the church. Come on, y'all contribute to what the pastor, y'all come on over here now. Don't be leaving. You gotta get, we gotta raise the money. We gotta get the pastor a nice gift. He done put you out there like a fool because he don't want to tell him personally. You out there trying to, and he asked you how much you got. Pastor, we up to $197,000. The car cost $367,000. Get on back out there and get that money.
Plus.
I want that convertible model. And you out there like a nut. Under an umbrella on a sunny hot day trying to get some money for the appreciation dinner to give the pastor a Bentley. And you the one walking across the stage with the keys at the dinner. And the envelope. Because you also raised $100,000 as a monetary offering to the first lady. And you up there proudly walking around like a peacock with the key to the Bentley and an envelope looking just there. Everybody looking at you like, look at that fool. And you thinking you're top of your game. You see all these women married to preachers now starting lady ministries now. And they address them as Lady Evelyn. Lady John. See, they got this elite class of women that are the first ladies. So now Lady Evelyn, Lady Johnson, and Lady Betty are having a women's retreat. The first ladies of these different churches. You address her as Lady Evelyn, Lady Diane, Princess Diana, and all. Look, what's wrong with you? Religion, bathed in pride, will drive you crazy. And because of what I'm saying, you know what they're giving me right now? The hand. I can't stand him. Why would anybody take what I'm saying and have a bitter resentment against it? Why are you hating this so much? You've been indoctrinated and brainwashed by these maniacs. This is a maniac-driven environment full of people that have been driven out of their senses by false doctrine. And they proudly and stoically stand against any intrusion of truth to set them free because they have become used to being slaves. And they sit there. Look how long we've been doing this. It's people in this city sitting there looking at me right now. Bound, can't move one inch. Chained up. And will go back to that stupid church they belong to and put that caricature of a person out front and sit out there and start jumping and shouting and talking about amen. And see what you find them doing, they always try to incorporate all the crazy. You know, Geno Jennings, people like that. Oneness Pentecostalism. The guy really looked like a warmed over Muslim if you ever seen him talking. Why are you even spending time even looking at that? Why not you get full of the Holy Ghost, spending time with Jesus, and go and do the works of the ministry yourself? Heretic hunters and people always examining other folks are a cursed thing. They sit on the internet just as a heretic hunter, picking out what's wrong all day and can't do what's right. Most of the time, every time I see somebody doing that, you know, they run past liberty and start turning on talking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. Because they're heretic hunters. They're not going to do anything. They're just forever learning and evaluating things, but never able to do anything about a situation. Look, it's time to throttle back. Get back into that quiet place with the Lord. And see what you got to do first. The first prayer you need to pray to the Lord is this one right here. Lord, Every vestige of the crazy religion I've been exposed to expunged from my soul. The areas where you know I'm insane and I don't know it, I'm giving you my body to wash out all that insanity out of my soul, because I don't know I'm crazy. So I don't want to go out here crazy. I'm giving you full access to my soul, and just go through me and take anything out of me you want to. And make my name just totally just rewritten over in your economy. I don't want to see me, know me, because I don't know how much religious junk I was indoctrinated by that was anti-Christ, anti-God, and insane. Because you'll walk around with a caricature of yourself in front of you, some kind of make-believe cartoon character, an animated cartoon as you, and not even know it. With all this religious junk you know, thinking it has some type of a value in God's economy, and it's just religious, crazy, Looney Tune junk. You can watch a person go into preacher character when they begin to talk. That's not normal. What's wrong with you? Why are you changing up into this make-believe cartoon just to talk to people? People can go into religious, crazy gymnastics when they pray. You can be on the prayer line, say, I'm going to pray now, okay, now. Going to make the list of people to pray. And okay, now Donna, you go first, then Elaine, then Rodney. People get on, okay, Donna, you start. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Look! Just say the prayer. Most of the stuff people pray about, God don't even know what they're talking about. They think talking fast is praying. Lord, thank you for the moon. Thank you for the stars. God, thank you for the gravy that you put on my biscuits. God, thank you for... Look. Talk about something that's germane to reality. It's something wrong down here. It's something wrong with the mind. Just ask God to take all the crazy out of you and just give you the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is sane. So Lord, just give me the mind of Christ. Whatever Christ's mind is like, put it in my head. So I can think the thoughts of God. Jesus, if you study him, Jesus was never a religious act and he just talked to you. Why do we get all these histrionics and all these character traits and all these crazy idiosyncrasies and what religious tics and all that? I was looking at Jimmy Swaggart's son the other day, Donnie Swaggart. He had the same religious tics as his daddy did. His neck, y'all was doing a neck. Why he talking? His daddy did the same thing. That's a religious spirit. His grandson do that too? That's a religious tic that's been handed down through their bloodline. Assembly of God. If you hear a United Pentecostal or Oneness Pentecostal talk, they talk exactly as, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord was in this place today. And oh, Lord, the Lord was just here. I feel the presence of the Lord. He's walking these aisles today. And man, look, man, just talk, man. Just use simple speech, man. The apostle said, I use plainness of speech. Get rid of this craziness in everybody so the common man on the street can identify with you and talk to you. Going up to a drunk behind a liquor store talking about, praise the Lord, my brother, the vodka, oh my God, the rum, my God, the wine, my God, the beer, praise the Lord, my brother, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? He gonna look at you like, what you drunk or something, Mike? You talking like you about had drunk, bro. And a drunk telling you drunk. Yeah. Hey, man, can I have a hit of that you got? Because whatever you got to hold up, that stuff got you flying high, bro. You got a fifth in your back pocket? Crazy came from time spent in delusional, religious, indoctrinating environments that were crazy, took you out of your senses, drove you insane. Now you come into the real and you still got those twerks. You know, you're twerking. You still got those quirks and those twerks and those gymnastics you got from over there. It don't translate into Jesus' economy because Jesus is a normal person. He just talks to you like an everyday person. That stuff is hard to lose on some people, man, because they think God is impressed by it. You can really work up in yourself that what you're saying, God is impressed by it. Now, what's people going to do now? They're going to try to be humble. Still, it's flesh. Get in front of Jesus and let him impart to you whatever he is and whoever he is, and don't try to be any kind of a way. It's set on zero. It's not negative numbers. It's not positive numbers. It's set on zero. Not trying to be humble on the negative side. Not trying to be dramatic and dynamic on the proud side. Set the thing on zero. That's all you got to do. A corpse is set on zero. He's been put to death, so resurrected life can flow through it. Your mind will refabricate itself. It'll be remade and reprogrammed to be a normal mind again. The caricature, the false you that you constructed to defend yourself and look like something will be torn down. That's the idol in front of you that you walk in so people can never deal with you. A lot of folks have been programmed to live up to expectations. Gotta always try to look like, act like. That's why women getting all these sewn on body parts and silicone all in their chest and silicone in their butt and, you know, their body shaped like an S, you know, just. Just, you know, oh, breasts and butt, you know, 50-inch breasts and 90-inch butt. Walk around, listen, you walk around, listen. Got a mess of this, man. Come on, man. Get all that stuff out of you. What you doing? Well, I want to be accepted. I'm trying to. Everybody know that ain't real. Ain't it crazy that you done did something yourself that everybody knows is not real? Housewives of Atlanta, everybody got 40-inch bust line. Everybody on the stage. Now, you know that ain't possible. All y'all built like this. What's the surgeon's name? What's the plastic surgeon's name? Tell me your name. Mr. Leroy Johnson over in Decatur. That's where we all went. See, it's time to be real. Fake people talk about being real. All the folk at the industry tell you, I'm just real. I'll keep it real. Al Sharpton, keep it real. He's the most fake guy on earth. All talking about keeping it real. Hear him talk, you want to throw up from all that fake junk. Look, folks, at some point, we've got to eradicate this make-believe religious trash that's in the wilderness in order to go into the promised land. It's time to let this carnal mind go. Let God, through time spent with Jesus, reorder, reprogram, refabricate thinking that is normal in us so that our actions will follow the normal thinking that's in us. None of us really know how much damage was done to us out there. You really don't know. You can estimate and guesstimate all you want. You really don't know who was a witch. You don't know what guy you was with that was a warlock had been down to the man on you. You were laying around the joke thing, he's a nice guy. That joke had been right down to the root work on you. You don't know whose son that you laid around with, their mama was a witch. You don't know what woman he had been with that had had sex with him but had put that red oil in her vagina. And when he went inside of her, he transferred that thing from her to you when you had sex with him. You don't know. You don't know the damage that was done to your mind. You don't know who was dealing in the dark arts, the black arts. Who was a sorcerer? Who had gone to Satan direct to get power over your mind and had your mind jacked up? You don't know the damage that came from the covenant of death you cut with the guy you had an abortion from. Y'all yoked together in a covenant of death. You murdered together.
You don't know how much it bound you to him and intertwined his soul with your soul. You don't know how many sexual partners you join yourself to by joining yourself to one person. And now you got 50 people up in you from joining yourself to all these guys or women you laid around with. You don't know. All you can do is spend time with the master to get the damage undone. I don't even want to try to understand the damage that was done. I just want to have it undone. Where you spent your time did the damage. Now where you spend your time can undo the damage. Mary has desired the better part. She sat at the master's feet, and his words were the words of eternal life, he says. My words are spirit, they are life. You, Jesus, the apostle says, you have the words of eternal life. I need to change in this time and space centered life for eternal life. That will eradicate the pride, and your hand will be lowered, and you'll stop telling God, talk to the hand, because you got the real me now to talk to, and I'm an open book. I have come to do thy will, O God. I'm not here to fight you. I'm not here to resist you. I'm not here to be a play actor and look like anything to anybody. For the first time in my life, I've been set free to be me. Man, that's a rare thing. You know, in sin, your mind was driven right to the brink of insanity. Right to the brink. Only Jesus Christ was a governor for you not to go insane. Right to the brink. Now imagine your mind flashing just right up against the brink of insanity. Losing your mind. Thoughts that you can't control. Appetites you can't control. Desires running rampant. No way to control your own economy in the inside. The insanity of sin. You don't know who you were dealing with that was really way out and far out. You got an outward show of what they were, but you don't know what was down inside of them. You don't know their bloodline inheritance. You don't know from whence they came. You don't know what they were really dealing with. Dope is not just dope. Dope is used to open you up for demons.
That's right.
Sorcerer sell dope. The dope pusher is a sorcerer. He ain't a pusher.
Yeah. That's right.
What's he trying to hook you on? The dope. That's why he'll give it to you free.
Yes.
To hook you. And now the demon he put in you is driving you through an insatiable appetite for the dope. See, this thing here is real. You better get back to your room with your Bible in a quiet, contemplative time with the Lord. And let him refabricate you in private. So your personal display of him in private becomes a public display that represents him on the street. And like I said, you won't walk around as an idiot, loud, abrasive, religious, with a bunch of religious talk embedded in you. You can reach anybody right where they are. We've got this thing in front of us in church. This make-believe caricature of a human. I'm going to drive it at it because it's a thing that's in the way. And very seldom do you see a real church person. It's a make-believe man and woman in front of you like a little mannequin. That thing's got to go away. God and us, we're all talking to the hand. We're around each other talking to the hand. Man, how can we ever have relationships built in church and nobody's real? Nobody's authentic. Everything's a make-believe animated cartoon. This thing's got to go away. It's got to be replaced by the nature of Christ. The humble nature of a lamb that's authentic. It's the real Jesus on display. And through that individual, the Holy Ghost will flow. He'll come upon that individual and flow through that individual to reach the world. Religion. It's the most damnable thing on earth. Religion is despised by God. What is religion? Religion is an outward expression of a make-believe caricature that came through indoctrination from bad doctrine. And I'm trying to live up to the standards of the religious environment I joined. It's not really me. Religion has me acting like they told me I should act. I go to dancing every week. When the guitar starts playing fast, my feet start to just... And you're just a sinner just jumping around like a fool in a church. Everybody think you caught the Holy Ghost. And see, the real bad babes with them bodies had them tight dresses on, man, them stilettos, all that body, and they start that holy dancing. And all the guys, the deacons, they're running up there. Yeah. Hell yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. That little strip joint. Yelling, ha, yeah, ha. Yeah, Holy Ghost, ha! Man, you looking at all that body and butt and breast jumping around. That's all you look. That's why she put that stuff on so tight. This ain't nothing but a brothel up in here. Talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm going to Holy Yo Ghost. People got to stop fooling around with God. Folk do a lot of things to get attention in church when the seduction and the sex deal is going on. And they'll try to bathe it in holy talk. Man, come on, man. We're looking for some real folk to get for real and do the job. This is the body of Christ. Everything not like Christ has to be expunged and thrown out of it so Christ can be seen. It's time for a new breed that won't tell God. God, just talk to the hand that make believe me, because I don't want to be free and authentic. It's time for a big change. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Take these words and quicken them. Make them alive to the hearer. That it will take root inside of them, and they will proactively participate in the destruction of the old man so that the new man might live. God, barriers have to be removed. Blockages, cholesterol, expelled from Christ so the flow of the Holy Ghost can have free reign. You're not going to put new wine in an old vessel. The vessel has to be made new to accommodate that new wine. God, do a work in us. Change us into the image of Christ. He must be seen now because this is a hopeless generation. We need help from heaven. God, as people that have come humbly before you to be made over. Do it, God, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Do it for your glory. Do it for your honor. Amen. Just going to wrap it up for this week, folks. If you're looking by live stream, get for real. Just get for real. Stop being a heretic, Hunter. Stop trying to evaluate and examine all this crazy junk out there. Go back home. Get your Bible, a concordance. Get a thesaurus. Get a dictionary. Sit down with the Lord and let the Lord systematically make you over. Passages of the Bible can be studied. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Dissect it, pull it apart, get a close and microscopic view of Jesus again. Man, leave all this stuff. So we got too many social mediums. It's too much information and knowledge out here, too much Facebook, too much Instagram, too much Google, too much whatever. It's just too much. Go back to your room. You know what we've lost? The lost art of reading. You got to read the Bible to study it. Most people don't want to read. Go back to studying your Bible. I remember even growing up, when I was growing up through elementary school and middle school and high school, I used to like to read. Henry Higgins was books I was reading in elementary school. Got into high school, I used to love, you know, For Whom the Bell Tolls, The Have and Have Not, all the Ernest Hemingway books. I used to enjoy reading that. A lot of mystery novels and reading. People don't read anymore. People are ignorant nowadays because they don't read. You should have a goal of what you read every year. I mean, I try to read 3 good Christian books every year. My own personal goal to read 3 a year. Because did you not know that as you get older, that Alzheimer's and dementia come from you not using your brain? That's why I want to start taking bass guitar lessons. You know, because music is basically mathematics. And it challenges your mind. You're learning something new. It's challenging your mind to kick on and have to think and concentrate and all these things that you need. Meditate. You need these things because it keeps your mind and your brain healthy. If you let your mind go dormant, you sit there with a bunch of potato chips, and you know, and the greasy pretzels and Apple Jacks and cereal and stuff, and then got a remote control all day. That's the sum total of what you'll be, a deadhead, not using anything. Last thing I'll say, and we'll go home. Everything about you is a choice. You know why people are fat? Why are people fat? Because they want to be fat. Now the first thing they'll tell me is what? I don't want to be fat. Well, why are you fat? They say the food good. Them greens and that turkey leg was good. That's why I'm fat. You're fat because you want to be fat. If you do not want to be fat, you know what you do? You do what was necessary not to be fat. So we walk around fat as if it's the way it is, and I just accept I'm fat. Because of what? It's a challenge to me not to be fat because I let myself get fat. So you know what happened to you? Your brain and your mind will make the adjustments of being fat, and you'll just live a fat life. You'll buy bigger clothes instead of saying, I got a closet full of clothes I can't get in. You'll keep expanding your fat girl and fat boy clothes instead of saying, you know what, I'm not buying another thing. I'm going to lose this weight and then get into that size 10 I used to wear. When I make the parallel correspond to the gospel. Yes. You can change anything about yourself through what? Time spent. Time spent at the gym. Time spent away from that table. Scoffing down all that food. You don't have to be there. You want to be there. You and I are the sum total of what we want it to be and want it to do. Because we spent time where we want it to be. That's a fact. And then folks look at the young girl that's been at the gym, taking care of herself, eating wholesome food, and talking about she thinks she's something. No, she don't think she's something. She could be just a normal, everyday, happy-go-lucky young lady to just take care of herself and just a normal person. And folks making judgments about her based on her outer countenance because she takes good care of herself physically. You can't do that, man. You can't delegitimize another person based on your inadequacies because you're too lazy to do what you need to do. We got to come off of this bag, man. You're the sum total of everything you have made up your mind to do. And your time was spent in the environment that co-signed off on what you wanted to be. Time spent. Why are people ignorant? Because they want to be ignorant. You mean to tell me from 1960 to now all these colleges opened up, even HBCUs, historically black colleges, opened up for black folk, and you're ignorant? How can you be ignorant with all these avenues of education available to you? You want to be ignorant. And sitting around mad talking about what the government not giving you. You wanted to lay around and have 8 kids out of wedlock, sitting up on welfare, ignorant with nothing, and just walking around in it. And then everybody else should owe you for it. Look, we need to maximize our potential in every avenue of life. In the Lord, in your physical body, in your mind, your soul, you should be educated, you should be intellectual, you should be on top of your game in every avenue of life, simply because you represent Jesus Christ. You should be the maximum potential that you can be in every avenue of life. It doesn't make sense to keep giving people a free pass, especially when Jesus said in the end we'll be overcome with eating. Now you think you're sitting there overweight and the man said you're going to be overcome with being fat and overeating. You think he gave him a pass when he told you what's going to overcome you? You see how crazy that is? He told you what's going to get you and you do exactly what he said was going to get you and say, I love the Lord. No, you don't. You love food. He said your God is your belly, your glory is in your shame. That's what the Bible says. That's point blank truth 101 right there. Your outer countenance, the Bible says, is a witness against you. It shows you who and what your God really is. It ain't Jesus, it's your own belly. You don't believe it? Just go and turn sideways and look at it in the mirror tonight. And say hallelujah and praise the Lord to it, because that's your God. That's real. We got to do something about this, or else people are going to be swept away dreaming about being saved and worshiping everything but the Lord. And the man didn't pick out adultery and fornication and murder. He talking about overeating and gluttony. Man, that's something else. Something else. We'll see you back here next week. Remember the prayer line, 641-715-3670, access code 409-367. Remember Dunamis Tabernacle, www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate. And remember the conference, June 1st through June 4th, down at Hammock Beach Resort, just 28 miles north of Daytona Beach, Florida. June 1st through June 4th, come and register right now, www.omegaministries.org. Register, get down there. We're dealing with the end times, the Antichrist, and the beast system at this conference. It's time to get prepared by deconstructing the old and letting God raise up the new. See you back here next week, Wednesday night Bible study, 7:30 as usual. Stay in prayer. Remember, the fast starts for the conference May 15th through May 25th. May 15th through May 25th, which is next Monday now. Tomorrow's the 8th. Next Monday is the 15th. We'll be fasting for 11 days, I think it is, 15th through 25th. And you can go on, keep going if you want to into the conference time. I'm just telling you the time frame we set aside. The 15th through the 25th, it's easy to remember those dates. Those days are set aside for us to get ready for this conference, come against everything that would be an obstruction to it and try to hinder anything, bind the devil, break down his strongholds. It's time to go past a conference, though, and get this thing done with boots on the street. Dunamis Tabernacle is an avenue of entry into the warfare. That's what it's all about. So pray about that. Remember the fast, May 15th through the 25th. We'll see you back here next week. Be blessed. Have a good week. And whatever you do, stay out of the devil's filthy, downtrodden, good-for-nothing, black-hearted matrix.